All right, we're starting in 30 seconds. You don't have to respect us, but please respect the other podcasts. You can treat us like shit. It's fine. Absolutely fine.
Wow. Some deep issues coming out here.
It is, actually. I feel theirs are so much better than ours. Ten seconds to begin. Are we recording right now?
Yeah, we're recording right now.
Okay, I don't know. Whatever. Little support's all I'm asking for. Okay.
Yes, 5 more seconds, everybody. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Clap! Yeah, zero. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! George Bailey, we got all the money, and you should have... Oh, boy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to PodMash. This is the very first PodMash. Maybe it'll be the last PodMash. We don't know. It's up to you, frankly. The idea is we've got three of our favorite podcasts, one of which is us. That's terrible. And we're all going to be doing 20 minutes as a way to introduce you to new podcasts. And there you go. So speaking of introductions, this is the Sneaky Dragon Podcast.
Yes.
I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
If you clap now, it makes us feel better. And there you go. And we are performing today at Skinny Fat Jack's. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. We're being nodded to.
Okay.
We got it right for all once. Right.
Yeah. It's in the back of Slickety Jim's. It's all funny words to say.
Yeah.
But when you actually have to say them, they're difficult to remember.
We're performing in a Dr. Seuss book, everybody.
Pretty much.
I've got a wallet in my pocket and I'm ready to go.
The fox is in the socks, which means the gentleman is wearing the condom.
Which means, is that what it was?
That is the slang term for it.
I didn't understand.
Is it?
Oh, okay. I read it a lot when I was a kid, and I never got that.
If you haven't listened to our podcast, it's this bullshit for the most part. That's why we're going first out of the gate. Now, we've picked a theme for all three podcasts, and that theme is love.
Love.
Yeah, one person likes love.
Yes.
The rest, not really, not so much. All haters, and as we know, haters be hatin'. That's what Hitler said.
That's right. That's what he... Hitler be hating, that's what he said.
Now, those of you that sort of know us, know we also did another podcast this year and wrapped it up, and it was called Completely Beatles.
Yep.
And in that, Dave has actually been referred to on other podcasts as the foremost Beatles expert in the world.
Which is so untrue, it's ridiculous, but okay, I'll take it.
Then yeah. Who is? What? Who is?
Yeah, okay, Mark Lewison, who's currently writing like the War and Peace of Beatles biographies. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's this thick, and it covers 4 years of the Beatles' existence. I think, and he has three more volumes planned, and they're all like you could, you know, use them to for something to raise, get a jar from a tall shelf. That's what I was. I ran out of steam there, everybody. So early in the show, I'm out. I'll just sit back.
So he's writing a lot. But you're the expert that people like.
And he listened to every moment the Beatles recorded. He got to sit in Abbey Road Studios and listen to every minute of music that they made. And yet I'm the foremost Beatles expert? No. Second best.
All right. Could you name one of the Beatles right now off the top of your head?
Pete Best.
There you go. Okay, so there. Deep cuts.
Deep cuts, everybody.
Now, how this fits in with the theme of love. I was going to start off today with a quiz for Dave.
Okay.
All right. Now the Beatles have written many songs with variations on the word love in the title.
Love me do?
I want... Okay, stop it. This is the setup bit.
Yes. I'm sorry.
This is the foreplay.
Okay.
Don't be doing that yet. Get the fox back in the socks.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'd like you to do, within 1 minute's time, if you can, name as many Beatles songs with love in the title as possible, not looking at this sheet, which is right next to you, and go.
She loves you, P.S. I love you, love me do, I run out.
That is the foremost Beatles expert.
I was pretty good. I got three.
That's right.
That's
you
not
did
enough.
Get
th- that's
no,
not enough.
No, there was like 10 others, but
all
that's
you need
absolutely
is, all you need
fine.
Is love. Love is all you need. I love the walrus. Sergeant Pepper's band in love.
Lovely yellow submarine.
Lovely yellow submarine. Here, There, and Love Everywhere.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? Let's just, for the record, Your Honor, let's just say I fucking tried. Okay? I put what's called a modicum of effort into this, and you just kicked me down the stairs.
That was your quiz?
The one question? It wasn't one question. It was a question, though, that had 15 answers.
Really?
That they we could that have, songs. If we did this properly, Loving have jammed it. On and had a good time.
Love You Too? That's a good one from from Revolver. Love You Too?
Yeah. From Lovely Rubber.
Lovely Rubber. No, from Revolver.
And there we go.
There we go.
Now, we have a thing on our podcast program. We go through Audacity, and it's got a thing called Truncate Silence.
Yes.
Which takes the awkward silences out of the show, which cuts our show down by at least 25 minutes each episode.
Yes. Thank God.
But you in person get to enjoy every one of those silences right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get to the subject of love. Now, Dave, you have brought your loving family with you.
Yes.
As is court mandated.
Court mandated. Yes. I have to tell them whenever I arrive in town, I have to let them know I'm in town.
Now, let me just ask you this. Yeah. Like, to me, one of the... I sometimes do comedy shows. Often I do improv shows. Mm-hmm. And for me...
You do this show.
Sometimes I do this show.
Yeah.
One of the scariest things for me is when someone comes up to you before the show and goes, hey, listen, I want to propose to my wife during your show.
Okay.
And they always want to do it like... We say, well, let's make it at the end, because otherwise it would be weird if it was in the middle and it didn't...
But they want it in the middle.
No, they wanted it... Well, they want to get it over with, yeah, they would. But you've got to then set things up at the end, and then they propose it in public in front of an audience.
Okay. I have a feeling you're going to want me to propose to my wife again. Is that what we're setting up for?
If you'd like to.
That would be terrible. You want to hear awkward silence?
But that, to me, is like... It's just so horrific, the idea of, like, in front of an audience having to because, you know, she might say no. Yes. And then what happens?
Yeah, but they won't.
Oh, they won't?
No, that's the magic of it, is if you propose at a baseball game on the video screen, the woman is so intimidated by this moment that she has to say yes, even if she didn't want to say yes. She has to like unwillingly put the ring on her finger and like her hand shaking, and this is like she's putting like a magnet against another magnet, and she's just putting this ring on, and the guy's like this doofus with a baseball cap, and he's been eating a hot dog and drinking beer, and it's just like hot dog beer breath in her face, and she's putting this ring on, and she's just like, this is the worst moment of my life, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then it's 5 years of misery.
Oh wait, so she has to actually get married?
She's
got to
go all the way.
Oh, my God.
Because he proposed to her at a baseball game.
Now, you're telling me...
And everyone she runs into will say, oh, that was a great moment. That was like, I would have loved if my husband had done that for me. And she's like, yeah. But everyone loves it so much, and she can't say no. And like, then all the parents are involved, and her mom's super excited, and everyone's all into it. And she's just like, I can't get off this roller coaster.
No. It would be nice if you could get divorced that way.
If you...
Like, at a ball game.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I would like to propose divorce.
George,
on the
I want to divorce you.
Yeah.
That would have been perfect. And then he can't say no.
Have to give the ring back.
He can't
say
no.
Pulling
it off. That's right, yeah. Well, that'd be awesome.
I have actually done a show where the person did say no.
Yeah.
But they said no in a you know, the most polite way possible, which is the, hey, we should talk about that. And then it was the, and then everyone's polite, and
because
then it's
awkward. Because there wasn't a giant video screen... That's as big as like the baseball field itself with your faces on it. I mean, that's different. I mean, a little comedy show, and I don't mean to be, I kind of meant to be condescending, but you know, that's different. Like, if like a woman has a chance like at a roller derby game, yeah, she can say no. She can say, why would you propose to me at a roller derby game? Like, that's ridiculous. And throw the ring at him and run away and move to a different country if she's smart. But a baseball game or a hockey game where you're on this enormous screen, or a football game or whatever, I think the people you should feel sorry for are the players. Because every, like, three games, they have to stand around and watch some sucker propose to some unfortunate woman, and they're just like, oh, this is terrible. And they're watching on this screen, and they're waiting, and they're all getting cramps because they're having to stand around in the cold. And this guy is proposing to this woman, and they see it all the time, and they're bored of it.
Those poor ball players.
That's who I feel sorry for. Those million-dollar athletes. They don't have stadiums. No one will build them for them.
No, they
and they're
do.
Getting
they
paid
do
millions
have
of dollars.
No, you were right up to that point.
Oh, that was
they
wrong.
No, they do have stadiums.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't feel that sorry for them anymore.
Now, did you see the proposal though that someone did at a musical, where it was like they made it part of the musical?
Please let me know it was Cats. And they came out dressed as a cat. And the ring was big and they played with the ring. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the actor was neutered, and so nothing could happen after that point.
Was this the SPCA version of Cats that they went to? You can't leave the stage unless you've been neutered or spayed.
Well, there was actually, apparently, like, there was an actual marriage thing in the show. Like, that was part of the show,
oh,
right?
Oh, okay.
But they made it with a real ring, and then all of a sudden you can see the woman go, oh, and this is for real. And she was happy, legit happy. That was great, but...
She's an actress.
But here's the problem with that. Yeah, she is an actress.
She was a real
actress.
I don't
think she was that good an actress.
She was a real
actress. No, actresses can cry one, two tears. They can't cry, like, six tears.
She got a Tony
for
that.
No actress can cry six tears.
She got a Tony for that. Tony for best actress who was forced to get married during a play.
But what I was thinking when I saw it was, okay, well, this is, but that wasn't the end of the show, right? As in, like, not the end of the run.
Yeah.
So imagine if you propose,
and
the proposal is part of the show,
yeah.
But then she actually says, she has to say no on stage, but then you've got another month of this run to do with the fake proposals at the end of the, that would be a nightmare.
What would be worse is if you're kind of nervous about proposing and you put it off and the show closes. And that's the end of it. And you try and do it in the last night, and everyone thinks it was an end-of-show stunt.
Yeah. You know, well, like that's what happened.
Putting saran wrap.
That's
over
what happened with Waiting for Godot originally.
That's right.
The actor who's playing Godot never got the nerve up every night. Tonight's the night.
I'm finally going to propose to that garbage can. I'm taking it home with me.
By the way, that's always a fun thing to put on your resume as an actor is say you played Godot.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Thanks. And you'll just see if they know anything about theater at all.
Do you know the names of the actual actors from the? Like, I mean, the actual characters from that?
From which? From Waiting for Godot?
Yeah.
I should. Yeah, I actually studied that in
I don't
theater
know either,
school.
And I used to know it. So.
Oh, well, thanks for pulling that on me. Do you know any of the other I Love You things from the Beatles? I'm not the foremost Beckett expert in the world.
Aragorn and Legolas. That was the names of the two characters from Waiting
you
for
Godot.
You
love anything involving a ring.
I do. I do. You know what you should propose if you go to a sporting event? A boxing match, because then you are in the ring.
Go on.
That was the capper. I don't think you can touch that with a 20-foot pole if you're smart.
Okay. That was fine. That was indeed a capper.
Thank you.
Now, so you've done a proposal.
I haven't done a proposal.
You've never proposed to your wife?
I haven't proposed
to my wife.
Then
why were you saying that it was a second proposal that you'd be doing tonight?
I was going with a joke.
Okay.
Because the thing is...
Dave, it's not too late. She's in the room. I've got a large group of people. You've said she can't say no.
We
have dozens of people that listen to this podcast.
That's true.
Okay, go.
Lisa?
Okay, wait. No, let's make this... Hold it.
Wait.
This is special. Don't rush this shit. Don't rush this shit. Okay.
I don't want you to feel forced. I'm not trying to intimidate you at this moment.
Okay, wait a second. Now, let's... everyone in the room, please look at Lisa if you could. By the way, that's her over there. Those of you listening, please, in Theater of the Mind,
imagine the
most beautiful woman you've ever seen.
She's dressed in a panda costume. I don't know why.
Yeah. She was at the edge of her seat, like she could leave, but now someone has now blocked her way off.
That was part of my plan.
Okay, here we go. Invited everybody. This is pretty good, because I have never listened to a podcast where there's been a live proposal.
To someone who's already married.
And has their two children there.
There, yes. So it's pretty much...
This would be an
awkward...
It's
kind of a fait accompli, really.
For these kids. If this is a no, this is a hard memory for these kids. Who shouldn't have been let into a bar anyway. But still.
You know what? I am too nervous to propose
to her. No, Dave. This is how we're going to win the Webby Awards this year. Okay, are you ready? This is great. We're starting this is our very first podmast.
Very first podcast.
And we're having actually a live proposal.
A live proposal.
And I say to the podcast after us, top this, fuckers.
Yeah.
Top it.
Good luck.
You know, good luck. All right, now here we go. Now let's all... This is a serious thing.
Even have the original best man is here as well. So this is pretty good.
Okay, here we go. All right, so and take your time because we've got 4 minutes to kill.
Lisa, we have 4 minutes to kill?
Yeah, so take it slow.
Lisa, I've known you a long time. Around 1, 2, 3. Is this working? Is this working? I didn't even propose the first time, guys. This is really hard to do. I passively aggressively proposed. I knocked her up. So it was
kind of... So you're saying the fox was not in the socks?
The fox... It's a long story. It's a long story, guys. It's more innocent than it sounds. Because I fell on her. No, that's not true. Lisa, after all this, will you marry me? Your already husband, who loves you dearly and owes you a lot of money, and if we get a divorce, I don't think I can afford it. Let's be honest.
She's looking at her watch.
She's looking at her watch.
She's giving this it some thought.
Okay. Don't feel pressured. I know we're on a big, giant video screen right now, and I've been drinking beer and eating a hot dog.
And he's never drank before in his life.
And that was just a euphemism, you guys.
Okay.
It worked!
Yay!
It worked, everybody! Oh, we got another 5 years out of this baby.
Consummate! Consummate! No, that's fantastic. Good for you.
I was going to consummate, but forget that.
But thank that you. Was just a euphemism.
It was just a euphemism. Yes, I was. I meant consommé. I was going to have some soup.
Oh, that's fantastic. No, this is so nice. It's clearly the climax of the podcast. We've got 3 minutes to go.
I'm padding
from this point on. But did you not actually do like a proper proposal?
No, I was serious. I knocked her up. She phoned me. She said, "Dave, I'm pregnant." And I said, "For me?" So, you know, as far as gentlemen go, I think I take the cake. But here's the thing, guys. I had cancer, and I was sterile. So I was surprised when I wasn't sterile anymore, is what I'm saying. I totally think it was mine. I'm not saying that, you know, she was having fun with the milkman. But,
by the way, your children look like you.
They totally look like me. Well, Mary kind of looks like the milkman. But, I mean, Millis.
Oh, shit.
I am the worst spy, aren't I? Just so you guys know, my children have code names in the show so that their lives aren't, you know, people don't, like, stalk them from listening to the show.
And how Dave does the code name is he says their actual name, then goes, yells, fuck, and then says the fake name right afterwards.
That's right. Because it's hard to remember, and
their
names.
Just to clarify, your doctor gave you bum advice twice.
Well, no, he was correct. It just, my body healed itself in this kind of miraculous way, and then suddenly I was not shooting blanks anymore.
So you were healed by the power, let me just say this.
By the power of
love.
That's right, from self-love, from exercising my body. Exactly. It wouldn't have worked otherwise.
So let's give a big hand for masturbation. Yay! Wow.
The most honest love.
It's interesting. That led to children. That actually led to procreation.
It is fantastic. The most honest love you'll
it
ever
It is
feel.
The most honest. And that actually is bringing us to the end of our segment. That whipped by, didn't it? And all you had to do was bury your soul, tell secrets, take great emotional risks. But thank you for doing that. It's much appreciated.
Fine. That's what our show's about.
All right. Our first podcast that is not us are two of my favorite folks. I've been on their show. And if you haven't listened to it, please do. And if you haven't, well, you're going to listen to it right now. Everybody, put your hands together for Dazed and Convicted.
First off, thank you all for braving this winter storm that didn't really turn out to be the 8 inches of snow we were promised. Promises of 8 inches usually aren't.
All right.
And thanks to Ian and David for putting this together.
Yes. we were talking about Bill's cock. You guys didn't see that?
Do you want me to push that down for you there?
Yeah, please.
You got it. Sorry. I have to take this down to the floor to do this. It's a terrible
It's appropriate
system.
For Monica's
I am very
height.
Short for people who do not go. See me. If you see me, you know.
How's this?
Yes, it's perfect. Thank All you so right. very much. Very Excellent. Well. So, hi, everyone. If you haven't heard our show, it's called Dazed and Convicted. It's at dazedandconvicted.com. And what we do is we read two news articles that have something terrible, horrible, a crime, a tragedy.
Something we would have done if we'd had the time on our hands.
Probably, yeah, or the energy. And we make fun of it because we are good, compassionate human beings who are going to take the most cynical perspective on love in this segment.
There's not going to be a lot of feel-good tonight.
No. There really never is. We also have sketches that are inspired in some way by these crimes. And we also tend to have a guest comedian on the show. And at the end, I read something that is unintentionally funny, usually Craigslist ads, or just pornography, or whatever it is. And, of course, now that we're finally doing a live show, which we've wanted to do for 2 years...
We're going to make like the Beatles and break up.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's happening. Because Bill's worked with me for 2 years, and that's more than anyone deserves. So we're actually changing the format. So just so you know, the show is now going to be pretty much the last segment that we're doing, which is Craigslist ads and other things. And it's still going to be called Dazed and Convicted, because I'm convinced that anyone who posts or responds to an ad on Craigslist is either dazed or will soon be convicted. So
you can sort of, David, assume this is like the rooftop concert.
All right.
We're over Savile Row, and here comes Get Back. Like, two people got that. I'm so proud of myself.
Well, there's only two people here, so that's two out of two.
I just want to say a real quick thank you to Monica. She's worked really hard over the years to build a good and a funny brand. I feel really lucky to have been a part of it. I came to this more as a writer. I didn't start as a performer. I don't know that I still am a performer, but we're going to give it a try. And
exactly.
She's encouraged me that way, and it's been a really awesome experience. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And fuck you for leaving.
That's right. And I think the big thing, the highlight for me certainly has been that we won an award for being Canada's most vulgar podcast.
All right, so we're going to read you the news article. We have one sketch that's inspired by it, and then I'll read you some Craigslist ads. So here we go. The Gawker headline. Usually we read a headline and we make the headline up into something crazier, but we couldn't. We couldn't find anything crazier than the Gawker headline. Nude beach blowjob jet ski fight leads to wife's death. And that title, Nude Beach Blowjob Jet Ski Fight, sounds like the Annette Funicello Frecky Avalon film that never got released, I think.
It was made in Annette's later years.
Yes.
Oh, come on, it's not too soon.
Love.
In Manatee County, Florida. Wait. Manatee County?
Yeah, there's actually a Manatee County.
There's
apparently
a place called Manatee County, and it involves oral sex. Okay. Safe to say that my career has just peaked. In Manatee County, Florida, a woman was rescued from a remote sandbar wearing nothing but a life jacket on Sunday after her husband dumped her there following a heated, drunken argument on the jet ski. Yeah, mad and drunk on a jet ski. That's the way to do it. This is why I never went to spring break in Florida or anywhere. The violent argument was sparked by Pamela Doster, 45, accusing her husband of 2 years, Michael Doster, 49, of engaging in oral sex with another man.
And I think 2 years into a relationship is a little too soon for that. Yeah. The Passage Key Sands is a famous offshore nudist beach popular with swingers. I like the way the conversation goes in my head where he's talking to her. Oh, yeah, Pamela, you can, you can sleep with another dude. That's why we're here. I'll be right back. I just, for those who can't see me, I did a little motion as if someone was going to give me oral sex. Oh, yeah. These are things you miss out on when you're listening to the show.
So thank God we never got a video feed going.
According to the Manatee County Sheriff's report, Michael Doster and his wife Pamela were on a Sea-Doo jet ski, near to the Passage Key Sandbar when they began fighting.
A great idea. I'm drunk, I'm angry, let's go on a jet ski and race across the water. Just to make it complete, I'm going to bring a gun, too.
According to the Manatee County Sheriff's report, Pamela told her husband that she had seen him and another man performing oral sex on one another. I feel like that's a conversation I'd want to put my clothes on for. Like, if I'm naked and having that argument, I feel a little bit self-conscious.
You don't want to be on a jet ski having that argument?
No.
It's a swingers beach, though, right? Did I miss something?
No, it's a swingers beach.
Okay, so there are rules suddenly?
Well, there are rules within their relationship.
Oh, good God. Sounds very complicated. Michael Doster threw his wife off the vehicle 4 separate times. Pamela Doster refused to reboard after hitting her head on the final toss, so her husband left her on the sandbar. Both parties were drunk.
Because if they were sober, I'm certain this couple would be, like, almost British in their decorum. They would never have fights like this sober.
I'm sorry I let Prince Charles take my willy in his mouth.
Oh, dear, no, it's quite all right. I don't mind.
No, you seem to be ruffled, dear.
No, that's...
Let me throw you off the polo horse. Michael called 911 when he returned to shore, and Pamela was found bruised and battered on the sandbar, wearing only a life vest. After several days in the hospital, she died. Local law enforcement named Michael as a suspect in the investigation into her death. But just a suspect, because they're real quick on the uptake there in Manatee County.
Yeah. It's just an assumption. Her husband throws her off a jet ski 4 times, but when she gets away, she's fine, everything's okay, some guy passes by, I fucking hate you, and then that's it. Yeah, that's how that happened. Manatee County Sheriff's Office.
I love that we get to say Manatee County.
Like it's, 50 times.
It's like a magic word. I love hearing you say Manatee. It's like clitoris. We don't say clitoris on the show, but it's just it's nice to hear it out there. It's a Manatee.
We don't say clitoris because you don't know where it is.
Yeah. I read about it.
Manatee County Sheriff's Office spokesman Randy Warren told NBC, "This takes our case to a different level. We need to know exactly what happened. This takes our case to a level where we may need to do something." I mean, what was the level it had before when you had a woman who got dumped out of this thing?
And was battered to the point she's clinging to life.
Almost dead, yeah, exactly.
We're not going to get too concerned. Oh, she's dead. Let's get involved.
Got to do something.
Not a huge, you may not be getting this, but not a huge level of respect for Florida law enforcement.
Oh.
Or Florida generally.
Or Arizona law enforcement.
Yeah, California hasn't done well on this show.
Deputies really want to talk to witnesses, especially the man Michael Doster had, especially the man Michael Doster had relations with. Quote, "We're trying to locate that person because he may be able to give us some good information as to exactly what occurred. I think they want to hear more about what it's like to get a really good blowjob."
Yeah, I'm not convinced that that was about information leading to solving a crime. I think it's more like Manatee County cops be cruising. So now we're going to take you all. We're going to ask you to imagine that it's not, you know, 4 degrees outside. We're in a bar in Manatee County. And, are you all imagining that?
Can you feel it?
Okay, because honestly, you're all dressed a little too well. There we go.
Never seen you in a sweatshirt, and now I'm kind of glad.
Never will. And in she walks. Enter Jenny. Jenny, over here.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah. Wow. Is that a Florida Atlantic University College of Business sweatshirt?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a graduate.
Me too.
Really? What year?
Next year, maybe.
Oh, me too. Maybe.
So, go Manatees! Wow, what are the odds that I'd find someone going to the same college as me on Tinder?
Well, probably the same odds as someone actually graduating from college in Florida.
Bam! You know, I'm the first member of my family to go to college.
Me too. And I had the lowest high school grades of anyone in my family, ever.
I can trace my family back through 7 generations of high school dropouts.
My family left Cuba on a raft.
Because of Castro?
No, long before the revolution. They knew the government was going to force them to learn to read, and they wanted to go to a place where that wasn't necessary.
Yeah, we has better freedoms here in America. So is this your first date off of Tinder?
God, no. I mean, yes. You?
This first one that turned out to actually be with a girl.
Oh, so did you just get up and leave?
Eventually.
What do you do for fun?
Did you read my profile?
Oh, yeah. You make leek soup?
Well, I was all motivated about the leek soup when I wrote that in my profile, but it kind of went sideways on me.
So no soup?
No. Maybe tonight.
Why would you even mention soup on Tinder?
Hey, did you hear about the nude beach blowjob jet ski fight?
Yes! That guy used to be our dog walker.
You have dogs?
We did.
Oh. I just think the whole story is so awesome. I'm going to use him as my business case study for this term.
That's a great idea. What's your spin?
Well, it's a multi-platformed, many-tentacled commercial omnibus. Sort of a Richard Branson type of thing.
Oh, only with open leg airline.
And boom goes the dynamite.
So, you're thinking like TV? Games?
Yeah, well, I think the title alone could sell a series. It's kind of like Survivor meets Teletubbies. Imagine this. And at 8 o'clock, see the cast of Saved by the Bell compete in Nude Beach Blowjob Jet Ski Fight. How awesome is that?
It's fantastic. And is a video game one of those driving obstacle things, like you're trying to navigate this jet ski, but while drunk, horny, and angry?
I hadn't thought of that. I just thought of a board game, you know, where your player lands on a square and is offered a blowjob from a dude, and then has to choose.
Choose what?
Well, whether to take the blowjob from the dude or kill his wife.
I love this. And you know, you could turn it into a carnival thing, a midway game, like...
Whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-wife, yeah. Little miniature jet skis, and you have to try to knock her...
Off the back. You try to get her unconscious.
Yeah. Better yet, killing her.
And the prize is a blowjob from a dude.
Not sure that's where I was going with this, but okay, yeah.
See, that's what's great about Nude Beach Blowjob Jet Ski Fight. It's a brand that can cross-pollinate to so many different target demographics.
This is right out of Professor Relman's class. It works for all personality types, from the sedentary to the active. I mean, whether you want to just lie on a nude beach or get up and gun it on a jet ski.
Or get a blowjob from a dude.
Think of all the spin-offs and products. Media products, clothing, beach toys.
Beach towels for, you know.
Yeah, the blowjob from the dude. I got it. We can create a line of jet skis. Look, luxury, like the Ducati of jet skis.
So fast you could outrun your wife. You wouldn't even have to kill her.
And we could design the jet ski to give you a blowjob.
For when the dude's not around.
Yeah, we could get dolls made up too.
Sure, why not? Now, are you thinking about a new brand or a name and an image license of an existing product?
Well, it's best to dovetail with an existing brand, something that has recognition and goodwill built in.
So like Ken and shit-faced intervener Barbie.
Yeah, and you can get all those made by kids in China for like almost no money at all. Oh, you would make a ton of profit.
What?
What? Non-union labor. It's how most American products are made. You know that.
I don't believe in exploiting human misery.
Really?
Not gonna lie to you, Jenny. I'm disappointed.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Well, I guess I have some soup to make.
Okay.
Check, please.
Well, it's too bad. There was this guy who ate a homeless guy's face off.
That was the coolest.
Well, I was thinking I would use that for my business class.
Yeah?
I just think that whole missing face thing is such a marketable visual.
Face off? That could be a great brand idea. It could even be a spray.
Yeah, it would go viral.
Yeah. Do you want to, you know, come over to my place? I'll make soup and we can discuss how to turn that into a Halloween costume.
Better yet, a franchise.
Oh, yes, you are exciting.
Like a nude beach blowjob jet ski fight?
Exactly.
You're clapping like it's over, and it's not quite. I've got some Craigslist ads for you. They will all disappoint you in humanity in some way. You're welcome. I always play a little game when I'm looking at the ads. There's three options, I think. It's tricking the naive, multi-level marketing, or trying to get sex services on a shoestring budget.
These are the ones you place or the ones you read?
The former. All right, so here's the first one. It falls under the tricking the naive one. A lot of times people have fetishes. They don't want to admit they have a fetish. They don't want the other person involved in their fetish to actually know they have a fetish. This one's exactly that. Under talent gigs, I'm working on a video project, and I'm looking for an attractive masculine guy who could have fun blowing up balloons until they pop, as well as bursting them in a variety of ways. It's as simple as that! Exclamation mark. Yeah. And you only need to be attractive and masculine because it's homely and feminine men. They just don't have the lung strength to blow up balloons properly. Next one.
Did you notice that someone here laughed really hard, which tells me she placed it? It was the laugh of the guilty, not the laugh of the amused.
It's the laugh I always have.
Yeah.
I'm seeking an amateur female with girl next door looks to be a spanking model for a photo shoot. Oh yeah, it's pretty clear so far, right? So it'll be for my personal collection and will never be used for any commercial use or posted on the internet. And you can just trust a guy off Craigslist for that. Always know that's going to go good. All right. I want to build a collection of photos of bare bottoms before and after spanking. All photos will just be a close-up of your bum, no face and upper body shots. And here's my favorite line, which appears on almost all these ads.
No zits.
No what?
No zits.
No zits. Exfoliate your bottom beforehand. Yes, that appears on every single ad. No, the line is completely non-sexual. Yeah, it's not sexual if only one party is getting off to it, apparently. This eliminates any of the sexuality. All right. Next one, again in the talent gig section. I desperately need to learn how to please a woman orally. Apparently, I'm no good. And, for reasons I'd rather not get into, I desperately need to learn. Reasons you'd rather not get into. Like, can we all guess what that reason would be? You've been asked to tongue a woman? You know, I mean, what is the other reason?
It's the marriage proposal at the ball game.
You gotta learn to tongue her beforehand, right. So she says yes. It doesn't always work, apparently. Yeah, there you go. Oh, man. Okay, I wonder if I'm just thinking linearly, if there's another reason you would need to give oral sex other than you have the opportunity to give oral sex.
That's it.
That's what I figured. All right. We don't actually have to have oral sex, but we will if it's your cup of tea. But whatever it takes, I need to learn immediately. Charge me money, make me lick you, whatever it is, your thing as a teacher. But I need to know, and I need, this best part, I need a guarantee that I'll satisfy a woman after our sessions. Like, is it an oral endorsement or a frame certificate needed? I mean, I don't know what kind of guarantee you can offer this guy. And, you know, I guess we're all the same, so if it works on me, it should work on someone else. Pretty much, right?
Canada's most vulgar kind of linguist.
Yeah.
That would be the award.
It's the award. So the talent section, I think, is an appropriate place for this, by the way, because it's, I'm an actor, and after you've auditioned for, like, the fifth commercial that for some reason not written into the script, you have to be in a bikini. Making the move into pornography is like pretty much lateral and pays way fucking more. So it's actually going well. How are we time-wise?
You're indicating 30 seconds.
30 seconds!
Make them count.
All right, this is the fastest thing in the world, but you're going to pay attention because it's awesome. I'm looking for women for a facial project. I'm an amateur photographer wanting to work on a project I call facial diversity. I'm looking for models between 18 and 40. Basically, you're going to start with a normal portrait. And somewhere between, and then you're going to end with a normal portrait, somewhere between these activities of your choice, something will happen that will cause you to receive a cum shot facial. So that the second shot is a portrait of you with the mess on your face. He's looking for diversity, which I think is very Canadian, sort of like a jizz job qualification. And, you know, you can have all these things that qualify you. Do you have circus skills? Can you make beautiful wedding dresses? Like, it's fucking really pretty much nothing. But I like the fact that he makes you, like, go on all these standards for diversity and stuff just to basically have someone come on your face, which I've realized I don't generally have to show my resume for. Thank you.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Daisy convicted, humor, not humanity.
What is wrong with you? Oh my God!
That's a question people always ask.
No, that's fine. That's good. All right.
That's funny that I started doing Sneaky Dragon after a Craigslist ad that I answered, looking for a masculine man to do a podcast with. Now I'm kind of suspicious. What's been going on all this time? Especially show 69. That was a real strange episode. What? Come on, guys.
That was a sympathy moan. Well done. Thank you very much for Dazed and Convicted on that. And again, shame on you. Shame on you. All right. You know, I hope your show does well. I hope it doesn't become a hate crime. Who knows? It's a country. It could happen. It could occur. And also, you brought your daughters to this show again, right, Dave?
Yep.
Okay, that's good. You were sitting next to him during that segment?
Sure, awkwardly. Okay.
Yeah, where's the eye contact go? It's like watching a film, and then a nude scene comes on, you're with your parents, and look at the carpet like there's nobody's business.
I kept elbowing my daughter going, hey? Hey?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Guy getting a blowjob, what do you think of that, huh?
Okay, shifting gears. All gears are good. There's no gear in a car that's not a good gear, but we are shifting to a different gear.
Unless you're going forward and put it in reverse.
That's right.
That's not good. We're not going to do that.
Nope.
We're back on stage.
Who here is a fan of science? Who here is a fan of people? Then you're going to enjoy this. It's two people talking about science. It's Science Us. Whoa.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. How about a round of applause for all of the other podcasts that you saw?
Oh, yeah.
The two others. Oh, he's already breaking the microphone.
I have already figured out how to break it.
Perfect.
I will now discover how to fix it.
All right, perfect.
I think it's fine.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are Science Us. That is our podcast. My name is Ivan Decker.
And I am Peter Carlum.
And we are not scientists at all. We like to qualify that statement. We enjoy science.
Love it.
There's going to be a lot of gross generalizations in this podcast and questions that may or may not be answered incorrectly by one of us trying to sound smart. So it's pretty great.
You know that guy at a party that you're talking to and you're pretty sure he's just spouting bullshit the whole time? This is a show with two of those guys.
Yes. those guys got together, and we have our own party all the time, where we just outspout bullshit at each other.
Outspout.
We outspout it. Yeah. The format of our show is every week one of us will science the other one, meaning that they will learn something, they will learn a topic, and educate, and I will play the layman and ask the questions that I'm sure are on the mind of all of the audience members. So I'm going to be that guy. Peter has research.
All right, so it's my turn this time, and the theme was love.
Yeah.
So what better thing to do than prove that it's all not real?
Oh.
And that it is all programming. So I looked into the stages of love.
Scientifically, of course.
Scientifically, the stages of love. Not like the psychology of love or the poetry of it all, but the actual physical process of falling in love with someone.
Okay.
So let's say...
So there's a baby, and he's got wings and a bow and arrow.
No, you've jumped ahead.
No, this is science. We all know this.
This is ancient... That's ancient Greek science.
And then there's a stork later. I don't know how they get together or if at all they are related.
Everything has wings, though.
Yeah, it's all a lot of wings in babies. The whole thing. Love, it's a lot of...
In literature, love is a very wing-based thing.
And they all have wings that are, like, too small to fly... Anything.
I think they were based off of bumblebees.
Like, hey, a stork. A stork could not carry a baby, and Cupid couldn't fly with those tiny wings.
I heard
what's
you...
What's with that guy
okay,
with winged sandals? He flew with wings on his sandals. How is that possible?
I heard you say Cuba couldn't fly with those things.
Yeah.
I was thinking a couple of people heard that. He did mean Cupid.
I meant Cuba Gooding Jr., not the country.
Either way, those wings are too small.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but this is the science of it.
Okay.
Okay, so step one, there's basically, it's broken down into three stages.
Okay.
Okay, in terms of the chemical reactions going on in your body, or the hormones being released.
By the arrow that Cupid...
Not by the arrow that Cupid... Okay, yes, the arrow.
Okay.
So stage one is titled lust. So you've just seen a person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know too much about them, but they're doing it.
They're doing it for you.
They're turning the crank.
Yeah.
Okay? So what you're having released
starting
there
the
are...
fire.
The, yeah. Starting the fire. The
you
fire
can't start
started.
A fire without a spark.
You can't.
They made a spark.
Okay, we got spark. We got arrows. We have not said a single science thing yet. Here goes the science thing. These are the ones everybody knows about. This is testosterone and estrogen in both men and women, respectively.
Okay.
So what happens is you see a babe.
Mm-hmm.
Irrespective of gender, you see a babe.
Yeah.
And then that sex hormone, whichever one you have more of, is released a bunch throughout your body. And it kind of drives that excitement. It drives your heart rate. You get very... you get... It's like those birds on the planet Earth, Birds of Paradise episode, where they're all just like bouncing all over the place.
Yeah, they go nuts.
Tweeting.
It's the same reason why guys are fighting on Granville Street.
Yes.
They don't know why.
They have no idea why.
I'm full of testosterone! There's so many babes! I don't know how to handle this! Why are they wearing skirts when it's so cold? And they punch. They all punch. I have to punch about this!
That would be stage one.
Okay. Got it. Stage one, lust punching.
All right, so...
If you're just tuning in, we're talking lust punching.
If you're just tuning into this live podcast, if you've just walked into the building...
This is a little segment we like to call lust punch.
So once the lust punch stage is done,
okay,
we move on to the attraction stage.
Once
so you've like you
punched
know
away your lust,
yeah. Once you've punched your way to the one you want to be with,
okay. So you've punched everybody
like
else
oddly,
out of the way,
yeah.
And you're with the person
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're with the person.
The babe was very impressed by your lust punch.
It's still new. She was very impressed by the lust punch, but it's still new. They're not, you know, nobody's ready to sign up for a mortgage yet.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So this is the second stage.
Second
stage. This is like the dating stage.
Okay.
And we're talking dopamine, and that is the one we are talking about. I made a list here, and then I scrolled down.
Yeah.
Dopamine is,
if you can't see Peter's list, it just says in big letters, dopamine, and then end of list.
At least I wrote end of list underneath
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's good that you did that. Otherwise, you might have just kept going.
This one is interesting because a lot of people will have heard of dopamine before as it relates to drug use.
Yeah. A lot of drugs release cause your brain to release dopamine.
And what I'm positing is that it's the exact same thing. That was met with silence.
So you're saying?
I assume only because of how surprisingly
true.
Are
you telling me that you can become addicted to love?
I'm telling you, you can become addicted to love. I realize the joke and the reverence, but I also am saying that.
All right. Okay.
And it reacts the same way. I mean, a lot of times, you know, think about a really bad breakup, and then think about, from what the television has taught you, about going through withdrawal. Somebody locks you in a room, and you sweat for a few weeks, and then you're not addicted to cocaine
anymore.
Pretty much
a bad breakup is exactly the same as that scene from Trainspotting.
It's the exact same as that scene.
You're in the room, you're sweating, there's an upside-down baby on the ceiling. You know, you've all broken up before. I don't have to tell
you. Or done drugs before.
Yeah, you've all done drugs during a breakup before.
The last one, and they found this out by basically fucking around with prairie voles.
Oh, okay. I've done that before.
Prairie voles.
What do you mean by fucking around with?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. So basically, they take all these prairie voles. They take other animals, mammals like us that are...
prairie voles, you know, just like us.
Just exactly like... Hey, look. I don't write the science. I just read half of it and then say it later in a podcast.
All right, you just paraphrase it.
Yeah.
So prairie voles.
They do what's called long pair
bonding.
What's
a vole? Can we, just for the uninitiated, is it like a mole?
Yeah, it's like a mole. It's like a hamster. It's like a hamster-based mole.
Hamster-based mole?
It's like a hamster-mole hybrid.
Okay.
It looks like a guinea pig. Yeah, it's like an underground... Well,
ground-dwelling?
It operates underground. It'll come above ground for things that it needs.
And size-wise, what are we talking? Prairie dog?
We're going to go... Just because it's a podcast... So
wait, give me a fruit reference.
A fruit-based reference.
Yeah, like what? Like a key lime? Like the size of a key lime?
Like a key lime that's as big as like a vole. Like a prairie vole-sized key lime.
I think I got it.
Yeah.
I think I got it. I think science-wise, we've knocked this
out. So this third stage is all about long pair bonding, and they theorize that there was something called oxytocin, known as the cuddle hormone, that helps us basically bond to things like our partners for a very long time, or babies, so that you don't kill the babies.
Oh!
So what they did was
especially when they're upside down on the ceiling.
Upside down ceiling babies especially. You gotta have a lot of oxytocin, otherwise you're leaving that baby up there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deal with that baby. It's upside down.
So oxytocin is what causes you to become attached to things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what they did was they suppressed the oxytocin receptors in the prairie voles. And they also tried it in sheep because they were bored or something. And had some sheep around.
We're going to try another animal. What do we got close by?
The prairie voles instantly...
There's a farm right there. There's a hole in the fence. Let's just go in and do it.
But what about the prairie voles? Leave them.
I'll distract the farmer by releasing a bunch of prairie voles into his vegetable patch.
Can I take a quick sidebar to admit something? When you said, are they the size of key limes? I got very nervous because I do not know what the size of a key lime is.
Really?
Is that the same? Somebody's doing, that's like a kiwi. No, they're bigger than that.
Key limes are like...
No, they're not little tiny things, prairie voles. Yeah. No, I know key limes, sure. Key limes are... You've all given me an example of the size of a key lime. Thank you for that.
That's why we do this live. If we were in my apartment, I'd have to show you a picture.
Prairie voles are bigger than that.
Oh, they're bigger than a key lime.
Yeah, something... Don't name any more obscure ones, though.
Are they the size of a dragon fruit?
Again, with the... What about like an orange? Big orange.
There's lots of different sizes of orange.
I know. That I'm protecting myself.
You've got like the honey sweet baby mandarin.
Again?
All the way up... To, I forget those other ones.
Is calling them...
It's the big orange? Pomelo? Navel. Which? I was going to say navel.
Navel orange. Yeah, I think they're more like navel oranges, although take the navel orange and like
so what you're saying is that voles are... What?
Like they're not round like a navel orange, but they're more like this.
So you're telling me they're very hard...
If you can hear that in the podcast.
They're very hard to peel is what you're saying. They're very difficult. They don't... The skin doesn't come
off. I would say prairie voles are upwards of 80% hard to peel.
So they're like a tiny weasel? They're like a smaller weasel.
I'm going to say they're like a half a weasel. Like, take a weasel, cut it right in half. lengthwise. So it's better that way.
Yeah.
Not down the length like some kind of butcher.
So you can separate it into its artistic brain and its logical brain.
No, not straight down the... I said lengthwise, like right across the midsection.
Okay.
Widthwise.
I don't want to get into the science of cutting.
That's our next episode. Let's do one on the science of
the science of cutting. All right.
Okay. So basically what happened was they suppressed the oxytocin in both these sheep for kicks and the prairie voles for science. And the prairie voles immediately lost their pair bond. So they were no longer mating for life. They were out on the prowl again looking at other mates and doing other vole things.
All right.
They did it to sheep. Who then instantly, well, not it, I say it instantly like it was like they walked up to a sheep with like a needle, and then the sheep was like, I'm different now. Not instantly, but very quickly, and because of this experiment, the sheep all rejected their children.
Ah.
They no longer started caring for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that if we were to like get rid of people's oxytocin towards their phones, we would live in a much better
yes.
society?
Most likely. Although I think our love of phones is more of like a dopamine-based second stage.
Yeah, you think it's like the middle thing?
I think it's second stage and first stage.
It's the cuddle hormone?
Yeah.
We're cuddling with our
phones?
No,
it's like the
that's why we hold
the
it
dopamine
so close.
One.
That's why I have to hold it so close.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if... Okay, no. Well, let's not get
That's
into
why when you take a selfie, you're always so worried. You're like, I can't do the full arm. It needs to be close to me.
That's why we have an aversion to people with selfie sticks.
Yeah. Because
it's like, take care of your phone. It's so far
yeah,
away
it's
from
so,
me.
It's so dangerous.
And no other reason do we hate selfie sticks.
Yeah, bring it in. Wait, what's a selfie stick?
You're kidding me.
I don't spend a lot of time on the internet.
And I don't upon fruits.
Okay.
Spend a lot of time.
Obviously, I spend a lot of time in the produce department.
Okay, a selfie stick is basically like unscrew the broom end from a broom handle.
Okay.
And then tape your phone to it. And then hold the other end of it. That's a selfie stick.
Oh, so you can take a selfie.
From like farther away, like all kinds of angles.
How do you press the button?
You know what? Good point. I think that there's something more to the technology than
there
just
must
a
be.
Stick.
Yeah.
I think there's like a pusher, a lever or something, and then it takes a picture.
Okay.
Anyway, so love.
So the science, basically what you're saying is that all of, like, what about, like, soulmates? What's
no,
the science of that?
Okay, here's why. Okay, I think that humans, like, not all types of chimpanzees and whatnot, are long pair bonding animals. Okay?
Really?
But that doesn't mean that soulmates are
how come
a
when
real
we started
thing.
Living longer we all got divorced all the time.
That's exactly why I don't believe in the soulmate concept, because I think soulmates worked in like the 1700s when you were living in a village.
Yeah.
Like you grew up in a village and you're like, well, this is the village I'm gonna die in.
Yeah.
Because you don't move. You don't
as long
move
as no one
house.
Throws a torch on my straw roof.
Yeah. As
long that as seemed to happen a lot back
as
then.
As long as Vikings aren't a thing yet, I'll be fine. And so your sample space of possible mates is four. There's four women about your age in the village.
So you're looking around, you're like, well, she's got rickets, that one's missing limbs. Ah, my soulmate! My soulmate's the good one! Ah, the good one!
And of course then we romanticize it to make it seem like it's not so selfish.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh yeah, your soulmate? Your soulmate's the one with teeth still? Are you sure?
No, yep. For sure.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure. No, I had a vision.
Now, our...
Now your soulmate.
Sample space for mates,
yeah.
both men and women, is rapidly approaching like 4 billion.
That's crazy.
So I think it's going to be really hard to find like, this is the one.
Well, that's the
no
problem.
No one else
I think
is slightly better.
Everybody's overwhelmed with choice now. The idea of finding true love is just so difficult because dating is like Costco. Like it's too much. Like you can't buy everything at Costco. You want to. You want all the stuff at Costco.
You can buy everything at Costco.
It won't fit in your house.
Oh.
You can't have all of it, right? So you want
I get the metaphor
with,
now.
With Facebook and like websites where there are like, you know, tens of thousands of possible mates.
Yeah.
Even in your life, there's not that many days of your life.
You
if
literally
you were to
can't.
Sleep with one of those people a day till you die, you still wouldn't make it through. So you're overwhelmed. You're like, I can't, but there's definitely something else out there. So everybody's adhered to that belief.
Is Tinder
like,
the Costco card?
Yeah, Tinder's the Costco. Well, Tinder's location-based, so it's if you really want to narrow it down. If you're like, I gotta get just salmon, and then you lower, and you stay in the salmon section of Costco. Don't show me any baked goods!
I can't buy a crate of baked goods right now.
I want to walk all the way over there to where the bacon is.
I just want salmon. You heard it here first, folks. Tinder, pick the right type of girl you want.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking less punching salmon.
That's the title of this
episode.
That's
actually the title of my recipe on Cookpad,
lust
which I just uploaded yesterday.
Lust Punch That Salmon with Ivan Decker.
It's called Decker's Patented Lust Punched Salmon, and it's where you take a salmon out on the town, and then you get in a fight on Granville Street, and you hit somebody with the salmon over a babe, and then she falls in love with you, and you cook that salmon on your first date. It's a hard recipe to pull off. But
what a payoff!
Oh,
though.
It's so good.
What do you think of your salmon,
babe?
You have
to use red onions too. They have to be red onions. There's key limes in there.
No,
also.
There's not key limes.
To cut them up, you have to cut them horizontally.
Recently learned those are too small.
Yeah.
To put in a recipe, or to compare
too small
to animals.
About key lime pie. That's the big one. That's why they're too small. You have to make them into pie. Anything small. Yeah. That's what they did with small fruits. They were like, I can't just eat them. Can you just put them in a pie? And they're like, yeah, we can do that. Cherries. There you go.
Are they yellow?
Key limes?
Yeah.
No, they're green. They're lime green.
Oh, I didn't know that was you had to call the color the name of the fruit. Listen, my diet is primarily Wendy's based. Okay?
When Wendy's comes out with a key lime pie frosty...
I will be like, hey, why isn't it yellow?
I do not love this.
One more thing I wanted to mention, though, is that I'm not convinced that humans are primarily long pair bonding. In other words, we're all looking for one significant other.
Yeah.
Because there is another type of monkey out there called the bonobo. And you know what they are?
They're the sex monkey.
They're the sex monkey, that's true.
They're the only monkey David Attenborough refused to narrate a show about.
Because they kept touching his butt.
Because they're just always fucking. That's just all, and then throwing, then it's like, not. It's all, like, homosexuality is very prevalent as well, and so it was like, hey, I can't take it, they don't stop fucking ever. I'm not narrating this.
Which, really, when he said that, they should have just been rolling on it and used that as the narration.
They couldn't get that shot that they need in every David Attenborough thing where there's something alone and it's held alone long enough for him to be like, the bonobo monkey.
Because
by the time he said the, it would be fucking something. The, God damn it, can we just keep it alone for a second?
Can we do the classic BBC Trank the Animal thing that we do? Just put some nice foley over it, make it sound like it's doing fine.
Yeah.
But you know what else bonobos are?
Why is that bonobo holding a banana with a Dole sticker on it?
They should take the sticker off. The other thing
is
bonobos.
It in his ass!
I'm just trying to tell you more about the bonobos.
Okay, tell me more about these sex monkeys.
The other thing about these sex monkeys is that they are also significantly less territorial and violent.
Yeah, they're super chill.
Chimps. Yeah. So it makes you wonder, like, oh, I wonder if maybe that's a better way to function.
Yeah, because people may not know this about chimpanzees. They're assholes. They are the worst. They're so mean. They fight all the time. They rip each other's faces off occasionally.
They do wage war on other territories of chimps.
Yeah, they actually have, like, tribal warfare style stuff where they, like, send one in to, like, oh, hey, guys, what's up? And then they'll be like, oh, look at this guy. And then a bunch of other ones will come from behind and be like,
boom, ambush.
Kill them. Whereas it was bonobos.
Narrate that, David Attenborough.
He has, numerous times. He loves that kind of stuff.
See, it's the American way, even though he's British. Don't get me wrong. You know, they love the violence, but they can't stand all the gay stuff.
Can't stand the sex. Yeah.
No.
Can't take
well, there
it.
You go. Sex isn't real. And
sex
no, wait,
is
love
very
isn't real.
Real.
Sex is very real. Key lime pies are quite yellow. And bonobos are the way we should do it.
And voles are the size of a rolled out orange.
Do you know what I mean when I say rolled out? I mean like how you'd roll, like don't roll it out into a flat, like a pancake, but roll it out so it's more like a tube, like an orange, a vole shaped tube of orange.
Like if I needed to put it in a Pringles can.
Yes, exactly. Like if you need to put it in a Pringles can.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's the high note that we should go out on, I think.
The Pringles can reference?
The Pringles can reference.
That's where we're going to stop
I preferred stopping 10 minutes ago when you did that, where you wrapped all the jokes together.
That was a pretty good thread, I'm not going
to
lie.
When you edit this, can you just go edit to that?
We're not editing.
All right.
Don't worry, I'll move that all to the end. let's do a little conclusion. That's usually
oh,
how
yeah,
we
usually
end.
What we do is we
end
opinion.
Off we our opinions on whatever yeah. it is that we just discussed.
Okay.
So, Peter, do you believe in love? Lots of love?
I believe in lots of love.
Nice.
I'm proud of that answer. The okay. audience was not. I don't care.
Okay.
I'm not here for you guys. I'm here to hear myself talk. Okay, do you believe in the power of love?
Do I think that there's a magic involved in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
I think there's things that science still doesn't know about. And I think that if science tries to recreate that, like if you were to make like a robot that could like be the best and trick me into like giving it my credit card... That doesn't exist. Oh, wait. That exists a lot.
That
there's a
exists.
Lot of those.
Yeah,
those are all over the internet.
Robots are great at giving
right.
your stuff.
Science wins again.
Science wins again.
All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. And I love that other people have a hard time ending their shows, too.
Yes.
That's great. That makes me feel
Yay.
Good. Yay. Endings are hard.
Like love.
Oh,
did I do that again? What? I was meant it was hard to love me. Right, dear?
That's also sad. Everything you're saying is sadder and sadder. No. You're becoming more and more droopy dog as we go along. We should just wrap it up now before it becomes too sad and people start committing suicide. Okay, we're just going to wrap it up right
sure.
now. Okay, good. Thank you so much, everyone here who came out to our live show here at Skinny Fat Jack's. Thanks to Skinny
Thank
Fat
you.
Jack for having us
yes.
Here. And thanks to all of the shows that were here. Dazed and Convicted, Science Us,
yes.
and of course, Sneaky Dragon. Let's give it up for Sneaky Dragon.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's
oh,
the best!
Dragon,
it's the best
show.
Of them all! Hooray for that one! It wins! It wins! It's number one! Hooray! Hooray! Thank you for listening to Podbash. Good night.
Bye.